This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم كل مولود يولد على الفطرة فأبواه يهودانه أو ينصرانه أو يمجسانه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, one of the greatest challenges that stare at the world today is the fear of raising children. The fear that haunts the mind of every individual without exception is what will happen to the generation in a society that has become totally immoral and devoid of values. As we draw closer to Qiyamah and we find the prophecies of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam manifesting before us, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says, we had barely dusted our hands from the grave of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we immediately found that the condition of our heart had changed. In other words, the burial of Nabi alayhi salam, which marked the termination of the golden era, was felt so instantly, so immediately, that we had barely dusted our hands, we had barely taken the soil off our hands, and we found a change in atmosphere. What about you and I that find ourselves 14 centuries down the line? We know how great the challenge is upon us. The riwayat comes in Bukhari Sharif, second volume, that one sahabi addressing his companion said, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْمَلُونَ أَعْمَالًا هِيَ أَدَقُّ فِي أَعْيُنِكُمْ مِنَ الشَّعْرِ كُنَّا نَعُدُّهَا فِي عَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنَ الْمُبِقَاتِ That today I find many sins common amongst you, which you trivialize and you regard insignificant. Yet I remember in the time of Nabi alayhi salam, if anyone had to commit this sin, it would be referred to as the most destructive crime. This was the condition in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, if we analyze the du'as of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, who came to destroy idol worship from this earth, yet he makes this du'a to Allah, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ O Allah, safeguard me and my offspring and my son from worshipping idols. Why the environment to which he was exposed was an environment of idol worship. Hence Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam realized the need and the importance. We know how vulnerable our youth are becoming today. A boy at tender age is vulnerable to such sins, such evils, such vices that were unheard of. So brothers, without doubt, one of the greatest challenges in this time and age, and raising children is such a challenge that no man can claim he has mastered it. Never mind saying that it works for your children and it doesn't work for my children. Many a times one father having two children, it works with one child and it doesn't work with the other child. So the challenge indeed is enormous and it is getting more worse as the days are continuing. If we study Quran and Hadith, the Nabi of Allah, just as he had mastered and perfected every aspect of human growth and human development, how to interact with our spouses, how to interact between employer and employee, between the ruler and the subject, Nabi alayhi salam's teachings had encompassed every aspect of human growth and human development. And if we analyze and closely look at the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then much has been said regarding the development of children, the raising of children and the tarbiyah of children. Brothers, just as it is the greatest of challenges, wallah, when the desired results are achieved, it is the greatest of joys. To find an obedient child who is upright in society, I swear by Allah, is the priceless gift of nature. In fact, not to go so far, just to take when a man comes home tired and exhausted, like someone said, there's no more pleasure left in life with the exception of three. ذَهَبَ اللَّذَّاتِ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثِ شم الصبيان والخلو مع النسيان وملاقات الإخوان. There's only three things that one can really truly cherish. One is the presence of children, one is meeting in seclusion with your spouse, and one is intermingling with friends and having social discussions. These are the three angles that add flavor to human life. When a person comes home tired and exhausted, one is his wife that is in a very seductive way presenting herself before her, which definitely is a human need and is appealing and is striking. One is the unique, wonderful, delicious meal that has been prepared, which is also a human need. But in between this, as this man comes home, that innocent child with his innocent smile. I wonder if you can attach any price to the smile of that child. Wallah, the smile of that child has the potential to put an end to the fatigue of the day. Has the potential to put an end to the stress of the day. This smile is so unique. Ask those that don't have children, they are going to the extremes of adopting children for the smile. This is how unique the smile is. Brothers, this is a great challenge. Unfortunately today, many things which are unimportant have taken our primary time. And in the process, we don't have time for raising our children. Time is passing away. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi says, أَدْرَكْتُ أَقْوَامًا كَانَ أَحَدُهُمْ أَشَّحَّ عَلَىٰ عُمْرِهِ مِنْهُ عَلَىٰ دِرْهَمِهِ. I sat with the group of Sahaba and I found they were more possessive over their time than their wealth. I sat with Sahaba and I found they were more possessive. They held on faster onto their time. Time meant more to them than money. The other day one youngster came to my house. He was really traumatized. One of my mother is very sick and my father is a stressed individual. I can't approach my father. He's a stressed individual. These were his words. I'm quoting the exact words of this young boy. I'm in a crisis in my life. My mother is terminally ill. I can't think of talking to my mother. And my father is a stressed individual. I cannot approach him in any situation. So one of the greatest challenges is raising children. And as I had made mention, if you study the lives of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, then every prophet's life was divinely molded and shaped by Allah. Nabi alayhi salam himself said, أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي. My Allah nurtured me. And my Allah raised me. And my Allah molded me. And every prophet's life was molded in relation to his nation. Hence the life of Musa alayhi salam was molded so that Bani Israel could relate to the life of Musa alayhi salam. The life of Shuaib alayhi salam was molded by Allah so that the people of Madian could relate. But the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been so divinely and completely molded that any human, be it a poor man in his poverty, a wealthy in his affluence, a governor in his dominion and his kingdom, a young boy, a man, a woman, any person at any time, if he looks at the life of Nabi alayhi salam, he will able to relate to this life. That is how Allah has shaped, designed and fashioned the life of Nabi alayhi salam. And if you study how Allah had disciplined the Anbiya and Allah had raised the Anbiya, you will find two common factors in the nurturing of every prophet, which would happen and is necessary and vital in the nurturing of any person, be it a child, be it a student, be it anyone. One is the element of love coupled with sternness. Both in moderation are of vital importance. Allah has praised the Anbiya and at the same time Allah has cautioned the Anbiya. Allah has disciplined the Anbiya. Today I only want to single out one aspect of the human growth and the development of our children, and that is the element of kindness. The element of love, embracing children, which is a gift of nature. The riwayat comes in Bazaar, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, the Nabi of Allah was coming towards us, and he had Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu with him. هَذَا عَلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ وَهَذَا عَلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ. Hassan radiallahu anhu on one shoulder, Hussein radiallahu anhu on one shoulder. يَلْتَمُ هَذَا مَرَّةً وَهَذَا مَرَّةً. He would walk, occasionally kiss the child on the right, occasionally kiss the child on the left. And we are observing, حَتَّ انْتَهَى إِلَيْنَا. Finally he came before us. I then said, O Nabi of Allah, إِنَّكَ لَتُحِبُّهُمَا. Looks like you are really fond of your children, these two grandchildren. Nabi alayhi salam says, I am definitely fond of them, but only he who loves them truly loves me. مَنْ أَحَبَّ هَذَيْنِ فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. He who loves them truly loves me. وَمَنْ أَبْغَذَهُمَا فَقَدْ أَبْغَذَنِي. And he who dislikes them dislikes me. So the Nabi of Allah had a lot of time as far as love was concerned with children. In fact, Islam is that beautiful religion that advocates kindness to children even if it be the children of our own enemies. This is the beautiful teachings of Islam. To substantiate what I'm saying, the riwayat appears in Bukhari Sharif. Asim ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu says, the Nabi of Allah had dispatched us in a particular direction. We were 10 Sahaba. وَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَاصِمُ ibn Thabit. And Asim radiallahu anhu was made the Amir of this Jamaat. Finally, after many incidents that had occurred, they came to a particular place and they were surrounded by the Kuffar. So the Kuffar told them that come forward, hand yourself over, and we will not harass you. So Asim radiallahu anhu said, Amma ana fala anzil ala dhimmati kafir. I will not entrust myself at the mercy of a disbeliever. And he said, I'm going to resist them. And in the process, they showered arrows, he showered arrows. Sayyidina Asim radiallahu anhu was assassinated. The other three Sahaba, they came forward, Zayd ibn Dathina, Khubayb radiallahu anhu, and Rajulun Akhir. That is how the hadith makes mention. They came forward. As soon as they came forward, the kuffar betrayed them. The third Sahabi said, I think what the first man said was the right thing. These people have already displayed betrayal, so I think I'm also not going to follow with them and tie the rope with them. He also resisted. There was arrows from both sides, and this Sahabi also met his fate and he passed away. These two Sahaba were then brought to Mecca. فَبْتَاعَ بَنُ الْحَارِثِ Banu al-Harith had purchased Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu anhu. Now Khubayb radiallahu anhu was responsible for the assassination of one of their members in the Battle of Badr. So they said, now we have the man, we will execute him and we will take our revenge. Khubayb radiallahu anhu anticipated this, he was happy, whatever the decree of Allah. Hazrat Zayd ibn Dathina, it is written so beautifully, when he was about to be executed, Abu Sufyan, who was present at that time, who wasn't a Muslim, made a comment to him in his ears and he said, you are doing this defending Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now your life is at stake. Wouldn't you prefer that you be in the place of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he be in your place? He said, لا أحب أن يكون محمدا الآن في مكانه الذي هو فيه وتصيبه شوكة تؤذيه وأني جالس في أهلي. You are saying that would I prefer being in the place of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No, no, you have your facts muddled. I am ready to embrace death. In fact, even if it is one thorn pricking Nabi alayhi salam, to avoid that thorn pricking Nabi alayhi salam, I am prepared to present my life. Abu Sufyan then said, وَاللَّهِ مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنَ النَّاسِ أَحَدًا يُحِبُّ أَحَدًا كَحُبِّ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ مُحَمَّدًا sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have seen love, I have seen respect, I have seen people honoring and revering. I haven't seen someone embrace, respect and revere anyone as much as the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respect Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, Khubayb radiallahu anhu, without digressing, just two to three days prior to him being executed, while he was sitting there, knowing that these people were going to execute me, he asked one of the people there of the house, فَاسْتَعَارَ مُوسَى مِنْ بَعْضِ بَنَاتِ الْحَارِثِ He asked them for a blade. Can you just borrow me a blade? So they willingly gave him the blade. He had the blade in his hand and he was sitting. فَدَرَجَ بُنَيٌّ لَهَا وَهِيَ غَافِلًا One of the children from that house, a child doesn't know color, a child doesn't know, child knows no borders, no, it is you and I that make a child prejudice. The Nabi of Allah says a child is born with the potential of accepting truth. It is the parents that mold the child. It is the parents that shape the child. It is the parents that poison the mind of the child. It is the parents that teach the child where to socialize and where not to socialize. There was an incident recently, one of my colleague's son was hurt and they had to amputate his toes. He was hospitalized in one of the government hospitals. He said, Maulana, my child taught me a lesson. I said, why? He said, we went to visit the child and then in the evening we kissed the child and as we were walking out of the ward, the child is telling the mother, but mommy, you're unfair. So the mother says, why my baby, why am I unfair? He says, you have kissed me, you haven't kissed my friends in this ward. You haven't kissed my friends. What does the child know what is color? فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهُوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِ It is the parents. So this child came and sat down in the lap of this Sahabi, this Muslim. Doesn't know that this man is my enemy. He has killed my uncle in the battle. The mother was busy with something. And then she came out and she realized that my son is sitting in this man's lap and he has a blade in his hand. Hazrat Khubayb sensed from the face of this woman that she became hysterical. So he said, أَتَخْشَيْنَ أَنْ أَقْتُلَهُ Oh sister, do you fear? I will take out my revenge on this child. No, no, that's not the teachings of Islam. You can go ahead and execute me. This child is innocent and I love this child. That is the beauty of Islam. In fact, that woman was so impressed. That woman was so impressed that she said, Wallahi ma ra'aytu asiran mithla Khubayb. I have seen many prisoners. I haven't seen a man like this. My child was in his lap. He had a blade in his hand. And yet he embraced that child. He showed love to that child. That is the teachings of Islam. Kindness even to children. In fact, the incident is very beautiful. 2 days later, Sayyidina Khubayb is then brought. Perhaps some advice for the youth of this ummah. He was brought in public view. And then the man and the woman came. He was then hung on a tree. And then he sang couplets, فَقَدْ جَمَعُوا أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَنِسَاءَهُمْ وقربت من جذع طويل ممنع إلى الله أشكو كربتي ثم غربتي وما أرصد الأحزاب لي عند مسرعي. Oh Allah, they have gathered the woman. Oh Allah, they have gathered the young and the old. Allah, they are rejoicing. Allah, it's moments of happiness for them. Allah, they have hung me on this tree. I complain to you of my feebleness. Allah, I turn to you in this plight. And then he cries to Allah. Then he asks them, permit me to perform 2 rakat salah. He gets so engrossed in that salah, he lengthens that salah. Then he ends the salah. And he tells them, I was enjoying my namaz so much that I was going to prolong it. But I feared you will interpret me prolonging my namaz as the fear of death. So I terminated it. Otherwise, I was so engrossed in my namaz. But I feared you would say, this man is afraid of death. Lawla antadhannu anni innama tawwaltu jaza'an min al-maut lastakthartu min as-salah. And then his life is presented and he sings the couplets. So brothers, in essence, Islam is that beautiful religion that teaches us kindness. Kindness towards children. It is such a great ni'mat. Like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, لَيْسَ الْبَلِيَّةُ فِي أَيَّامِنَا عَجَبَا بَلِ السَّلَامَةُ فِيهَا أَعْجَبُ الْعَجَبِينَ لَيْسَ الْجَمَالُ بِأَثْوَابٍ تُزَيِّنُنَا إِنَّ الْجَمَالَ جَمَالُ الْعَقْلِ وَالْأَدَبِ. The Nabi of Allah said, no father can favor his son with a better gift than good manners. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, it is not beautiful, exclusive clothing that adorn our youth. إِنَّ الْجَمَالَ جَمَالُ الْعَقْلِ وَالْأَدَبِ. But it is morals and values. It is good nurturing and tutoring. Brothers, have a young boy who has a striking appearance, who is well dressed, but it is rude in his character. And another boy who perhaps doesn't have exclusive clothing, who is not striking in his appearance, but is polite, is respectful, is obliging. The beauty of this boy would be perhaps for a phase, for a period of time, in his youth, in his teens. He will impress some girls and he will attract beauty towards him. But the beauty of this child will remain. Neither the time nor the environment will change. This is the outstanding beauty. لَيْسَ الْجَمَالُ بِأَثْوَابٍ تُزَيِّنُنَا إِنَّ الْجَمَالَ جَمَالُ الْعَقْلِ وَالْأَدَبِ لَيْسَ الْيَتِيمُ الَّذِي قَدْ مَاتَ وَالِدُهُ إِنَّ الْيَتِيمَ يَتِيمُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. Sayyidina Ali says, it is not only that child whose biological father has died who is an orphan. That child who is deprived of an Islamic upbringing, he also is an orphan and equally needs your sympathy. So brothers, loving children, embracing them, maintaining equality between children. Like I said, there are two aspects. Today I'm only focusing. Then one is to embrace every child. Every child of society is my child. Islam does not advocate a selfish attitude. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Anas radiallahu anhu, he comes and stays in the company of Nabi alayhi salam. One day the Nabi of Allah told Anas, okay Anas, go and do this for me. In fact, if you study the chapters of hadith about salam, greeting, you will find Kana sallallahu alayhi wasallam yusallim ala sibyan. If Nabi alayhi salam walked by and he seen children playing, he would stop, look at them, then call them, salamu alaikum, how are you my baby, how are you my child? You will find in the chapters of salam, my Nabi stopped walking and moving, told his sahaba to halt, embraced this innocent creature of nature, loved him. Allahu Akbar, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became the Amir, and he took the reins of the Islamic empire, one girl said, Al-an la tuhlabu mana'ihu darina. Gone are the days where Abu Bakr will milk our cows. Now you are talking of the Amir. Abu Bakr said, what you said, my baby, come here, my girl. What did you say, my child? She says, I said, well, you're the leader now. Where are you going to come and milk my cow? Where you will come and talk to me? He says, no, no. I hope from Allah that the position my Allah has endowed me does not alter my relation with the general masses of this ummah. My sister, my daughter, you are still part of me. Nabi alayhi salam sent Anas radiallahu anhu. And then Anas radiallahu anhu says, I told Nabi alayhi salam, I'm not going. But in my mind, I said, I'll go. I said, that's a child. Wallah, when that child comes to the masjid, embrace him. Don't chase him out. Don't ever disown him. If you want to disown him, there are thousands to own him. You will cry tears of blood. When he is making noise, he is a child. Let us fuss on that adults that are making a noise and not on the children. Let us embrace those children that come to the masjid. They have come to our door. We know how vulnerable that society outside is. Look at the life of Nabi alayhi salam. How tolerant, how patient, how encompassing, how embracing his nature was. He says, finally, I waited. I couldn't see Anas. Then I came. I seen him. Anas radiallahu anhu says, I was walking, I seen children playing. I said, let me enjoy their play. And I started, and Nabi alayhi salam is waiting. And then Nabi alayhi salam came to me, and then qabad al-qafaya, he caught me on my nape, and then I turned and I said, oh, Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam said, ya Unais, Anas, didn't I tell you to go? I said, 1 minute, I'm on my way, just wait, I'm going. Subhanallah, this was the interaction of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, no parent can claim that whatever I do is correct. Wallah, we can learn. In fact, if we will give our children the correct upbringing under the commentary of this ayat, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا, where Allah says virtuous deeds, that is what will ultimately help you on the day of Qiyamah. There are different explanations of what is virtuous deeds. On the authority of Ubayd ibn Umar, it is written, and there is one hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha that substantiates this particular quotation, that one person on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will command him that he has to be thrown headlong in Jahannam. As he will be taken towards Jahannam, his daughters will run out. And his daughters will implore Allah, will plead before Allah, oh Allah, this is our father. Perhaps he faulted in his relation with you, for which he is justified for the penalty you have decreed for him. Allah, but our father made his day and night one in instilling good values and morals in us. Allah, it was this very father of us that did not allow us to go outdoors, that enforced that we dress morally and we have good values. It comes in the hadith, these daughters will persist before Allah, will insist before Allah. There will be those who will earn salvation on the intercession of prophets. There will be those who will get salvation on the intercession of martyrs. How fortunate will be that father who instilled good values in his daughters. The Nabi of Allah says they will insist until they will convince Allah. Allah will say, now take your own father and put him in Jannah where you wish. How fortunate is that father. Brothers, let us give you one, two examples of the kind nature of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in interacting with children. Many a times we can learn, we can engage within our children and learn from them. The talent, many of these children that are coming to masjid, tomorrow we will be performing salah before them, behind them. They will be our leaders in society. Allah makes mention of an incident of Dawud alayhi salam. Father and son both were prophets and Allah had blessed both with kingdom. One day one person came to Sayyidina Dawud alayhi salam. وَدَاوُدَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ إِذْ يَحْكُمَانِ فِي الْحَرْثِ إِذْ نَفَشَتْ فِيهِ غَنَمُ الْقَوْمِ وَكُنَّا لِحُكْمِهِمْ شَاهِدِينَ. So this man came to Dawud alayhi salam. He said, oh Dawud, this person, he was the owner of a farm. He says, last night this man, the shepherd, left his sheep and his sheep grazed in my farm and destroyed all my crops. So we are here before you. We want you to analyze our case and make a decision. Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam heard the case and then valued the harm that was caused to the farm was equal in value to the flock of sheep. So he told the owner of the sheep, the shepherd, that it is your negligence that has resulted in your flock destroying the crops of this man. So you will have to suffer the consequences. Hence your sheep will be given to this man in lieu of the harm caused by your sheep. The man agreed. The farmer now had his own farm. Of course the crops were destroyed and he had a flock of sheep. And as they walk out of there, accepting the verdict of Dawud alayhi salam, they pass by Sulaiman alayhi salam. With reference to Tafsir al-Sawi, it is written in the footnotes of Jalalain in the Hashia number 11, that as they come by Sulaiman alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, what decision did my father tell you? So they said, well, this is what your father said, that my sheep had pastured in his farm because of my negligence, and the harm caused was in value to the value of my sheep, so my sheep must be given to him in lieu of the harm. Sulaiman alayhi salam said, لَوْ وُلِّيْتُ أَمْرَكُمَا لَقَضَيْتُ مَا هُوَ أَرْفَقْ بِالْفَرِيقَيْنِ. With utmost respect to my father, but if I was asked for my opinion, I would have made a decision accommodating both parties. He was of 10 days, he was 11 years of age. Dawud alayhi salam was told that your sons got some other input in the matter. Dawud alayhi salam, who is the Nabi of Allah, he calls his son, he says, بِحَقِّ الْأُبُوَّةِ وَالنُّبُوَّةِ. Oh my son, I ask you through the medium of prophethood and fatherhood. I'm a Nabi of Allah, you are my ummati, and I'm your father, you are my son. Tell me, what understanding have you come to in this particular situation? He says, oh my father, I don't wish to be abrupt, but what I thought, the way I analyzed the situation, I felt that I would tell the man, the shepherd, that because your sheep, the negligence of your sheep and your negligence has caused so much pain, so you take that man's farm, and you once again irrigate the land, cultivate the land, and once again plant, and bring the farm, bring the crops back to its position as it was before your sheep had destroyed it. And in the interim, you give your goats and your sheep to that man, يَنْتَفِعُ بِلَبَنِهَا وَسُوفِهَا. The farmer, the owner of the farm can benefit from your goats, from the milk, from the production, from the wool. When you have brought the farm back to its original condition, then you return your farm to him, his farm to him, and he returns his sheep back to you. So in such a way, you have not totally suffered, otherwise you lost your sheep also and the farm is also gone. Dawud alayhi salam was very impressed. He said, Al-qadha'u ma qadayta. My son, you have in fact made a better decision. I withdraw my statement and my ruling is now in accordance to my young boy of tender age. Subhanallah, being the Nabi of Allah, this is the teachings of Islam. In fact, in Bukhari Sharif, there is another riwayat. The two women were walking. And this also came to Dawood and Sulaiman. And they had the two sons with them, both who, in their appearance, they resembled one another. فَجَاءَ الذِّئْبُ فَذَهَبَ بِإِبْنِي إِحْدَاهُمَا. The wolf came, devoured one boy and went away. Now these two women started arguing. The one said, this is my son. The other one said, this is my son. As I mentioned, their appearance was similar. That is why they could argue over the same child. They came to Dawood alayhi salatu was salam and they told Dawood alayhi salam, this is the story. Dawood alayhi salam heard the story, heard the case. He says, فَقَضَى بِهِ لِلْقُبْرَى. I think the elderly woman, she is the mother. You are the mother of this child, you can go. As they came out of there, they passed by Sulaiman alayhi salam. Not challenging his father. But brothers, Allah has blessed every child with some talent. Wallah, let us embrace the talent of our children. It will mean that we will have to give up some of those things which we are fussing for, which has taken up valuable time, which has taken up our priority, but unfortunately doesn't hold much merit in the eyes of Allah. For that woman to receive that child, maybe she will have to stop fussing with her kitchen. On a Sunday, I will have to stop fussing with my garden and my car. Then I will have time for this nature, this wonderful gift of nature that is developing before me. Anyway, Sulaiman alayhi salam heard the case. He says, okay, do me a favor, bring me a knife. The best thing is, let me split the child in two. You have half, you have half. When he brought the knife, when he put the knife on the head, the younger woman said, whatever it is, don't slaughter this child. Sulaiman alayhi salam says, this is the mother. The one that says, don't slaughter at any cost, she is the mother. The father said, the elderly woman. Sulaiman alayhi salam's intellect, young boy, he says, no, no, if she's saying don't slaughter, then this is the mother, she is the true owner. So brothers, let us embrace this gift of nature. Likewise, we learn from the hadith, time has left to be equal. Nu'man ibn Bashir says, I came to Nabi alayhi salam. The Nabi of Allah had a gift and he wanted to give it to me. So he said, O Nabi of Allah, I was going to give my son a gift. I just thought I'll give it to you in your presence. Nabi alayhi salam said, Alaka waladun siwa hadha? You have more sons besides the son? I said, yes. You gave every son of yours a gift? No, I haven't given everyone. You want them to be equal to you in loyalty? The sahabi answered, yes. Then you must be equal to them in giving them gifts. Idhan la tushhidni fa inni la ashhad ala jawrin. Please don't make me a witness to injustice. Make someone else a witness. If you have gifts, give the others or take this gift back. In fact, just not fairness in that aspect. In Bazdar, there is a riwayat. Abu Raira radiallahu anhu says, I was sitting with Nabi alayhi salam. There was another sahabi. His son came running. The sahabi picked up his son, kissed him. فَأَجْلَسَهُ عَلَى فَخِذَيْهِ. And he put the son on his lap. And then his daughter came running. So he held the daughter. فَأَجْلَسَهَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. And then he told the daughter, okay, you sit here. So he put the son on the lap. And unintentionally, no father would want to deliberately be unfair to his children. He put the daughter in front. And he didn't put the daughter on the other lap. Nabi alayhi salam said, Allah sawwayta bainahuma. Why is this unfair treatment? One son on the lap, the other one on the floor. Will you not maintain justice between your children? Brothers, let us embrace this nature of gift. This gift of nature. This great gift of Allah Ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salam picks up Hassan radiallahu anhu. Hassan at the age of six. At the age of six, he says, I managed secure in one hadith from my grandfather Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While playing, he taught me this hadith. Da'ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. Abandon those things which are doubtful and embrace those things which have no doubt. At the age of 10 years, he had memorized this hadith and it's conveyed at the age of six, memorized this hadith and conveyed it to this ummah. Significant amount of masail are deduced from this quotation of Hassan radiallahu anhu in his tender age. So really we can impress upon our children and convey great amount of deen to them. May Allah Ta'ala safeguard our children in this evil environment. May Allah make them the coolness of our eyes that bring joy to us in this world. The best legacy that you can leave behind, waladin salihin yad'u lahu, pious offspring that convey thawab to their late parents after they have passed away. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.